We have many guest evangelists that come to our church, and in recent months, there has not been a greater sermon that has touched the hearts of our people than the one you're about ready to hear. Dr. Todd Zeich brings a tremendous, powerful sermon on getting the clay out of the way. Let's go right into the sermon right now, Getting the Clay Out of the Way, from Dr. Todd Zeich.
I preached this message a couple years ago, and I've been praying for the last 4 weeks. God, what would you have me to preach? What would you have me? And the message kept coming back to me, this message. I got it out of the archives, and I cut it up and diced it up, and it's a whole different message. But the title is still the same. It's Getting the Clay Out of the Way. I don't know if you ever heard that or not, but getting the clay out of the way. I'm sure there's greater preachers than I that have preached talking about this, but I thought about it a little bit. Remember, here they are. They're probably in Peter and Andrew's house. And Jesus is preaching. The crowd is drawn in Capernaum. This has been his home place to preach for 3 years. And they're all gathered in and they can't even get in. Now these four are bearing a friend and they want this friend healed and saved. You can't hardly preach this message or this text without talking about soul winning. I'm telling you, there's four men that said, we'll get this man to Jesus. And we ought to have some people say, well, you know what? I'm going to get my son to Jesus. I'm going to get my daughter to Jesus. I'm going to get my aunt, my uncle, my friend, my neighbor to Jesus Christ. I'm going to get that enemy I don't like too well to Jesus. You know what? You get your enemy to Jesus, they become your friend. Amen. But anyway, you see these four men now they bear, and there's no place around for them to get in there. Now I want to look at a couple things with this message, this getting the clay out of the way. You know, I thought about that for a little bit, and I thought there's two ways they made houses back then during this time. But both of them had clay on the top. One of them was sticks laid across other sticks. They had clay tile, then they put clay, then they put dirt, then they put grass. That was one way of the housetops. The other one was a way where they would put steps up to the edge of the house, and they'd have clay tiles that came across each other that they could actually make their way onto the top of the house. I don't know which one it is that could have been they're talking about right here. I don't know what Peter and Andrew had in their house. I don't know what they made on the roof, but either way, it was made of clay. And either way, they had to get the clay out of that way. Now listen to me. They had to get the clay out of the way. Where does clay come from? What does it represent? That's what I want to look at for a minute in the Word of God. Let's take a notice of what happens when they begin to get the clay out of the way. I want to get 3 points, and you'll have a message that I'd like to give to you this morning. Number one is, you can examine the person Jesus when the clay is out of the way. You can examine the person Jesus when the clay is out of the way. I want you to know, He became discernible to them when they got the clay out of the way. Is this on? Yeah, it is, isn't it? Can you hear me? Okay. Not that you couldn't without it, but listen, I'm telling you, they begin to make their way around. There was no way to get. They thought, what do? Let's go up on the rooftop. Now, can you imagine being Peter or Andrew in that house, hearing somebody bang on your roof? How would you like it if we begin to see chips falling off this church? And we see a hole dug up there. Brother Calvin Ray probably be saying, call the police. Let's get them. Amen. Andrew and Peter, can you imagine what they were doing? Just think about it a minute. Lord, somebody's doing something that Jesus said, it'll be all right. We got something much bigger than your roof happening here, brother. We got some. Listen, they realized something. When they got to the top of the roof, they realized they couldn't see Jesus. They realized they couldn't hear Jesus. Listen, I want you to know, when there's something between you and God, when the clay stands between you and God, you can't see Him right. You can't hear Him right. Are you listening to me? Amen. Until they got the clay out of the way, they couldn't see Jesus. Amen. They had to dig the clay out. I'm telling you, you've got to get the clay out of the way before you can see Jesus. But if they dug, and they begin to look down there, they see Jesus. The one they were wanting to see, the one they desired to see. Their desires increase. Oh, Dave said, as a deer panteth for the water brooks, God, so does my heart pant after you, oh God. Amen. Listen, he says, listen, I have a desire to see you. And the desire has got us here. We hear muffled sound. We know Jesus is in there. What are we going to do? One step to the other. Why do you think I brought the hammer with me? Huh? Somebody was prepared. Somebody was ready. Somebody said, I'll make sure there's nothing between me and the Lord. Listen, today, you may be saved and born again. It seems like your prayers aren't making it to heaven. You may have a burden. You seem like you can't give to the Lord. I want you to know, until the clay's out of the way, it won't happen. Amen. We got to get the clay out of the way. They finally got the clay out of the way, and they could see Jesus. Not only could they see Jesus, they could hear Jesus. Did you know God wants to talk to you and me?
Amen.
Huh? He does. He wants to talk to us and direct us in this life. Tell us what to go and where to do, what to happen and what to do. He wants to talk to us. But as long as there's clay in the way, we can't hear Him right. Huh? When clay's in the way, we can't see Jesus the way we need to see Him. They had to get the clay out of the way. You see two things that happened. Number one, He became more discernible, and He also became more desirable when they got the clay out of the way. Did you know when you see Jesus, when everything's out of the way, it's precious and all you want is more?
Amen.
It's true.
Amen.
When you see Him clearly, you don't want anything else. You don't want anything this world has to offer. All you want is Him. Amen?
Amen.
He's more desirable. Number two, looking through this, not only can you examine the person of Jesus, but you can enter to the presence of Jesus when you get the clay out of the way. Amen. The men were able to finally lower the man that was sick of palsy down to see Jesus only when they got the clay out of the way. You can discharge your burdens only when the clay is out of the way. The Bible says in Psalm 66:18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, then the Lord will not hear me. Are you listening? Listen, God says once again in John 9:31, we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth His will, him He will hear. Listen, I'm going to tell you, when we get the clay out of the way, when sin has gotten out of our way, He'll listen to us. Amen? He'll say, go ahead, boys, discharge your burden down here. Listen, God says, I want to meet your burden. I want to meet your need. Make sure everything's out of the way. Make sure all the clay is out of the way. And then when you discharge your burden, I'm going to take care of it. Amen? For I want to say, He says, cast your care upon me, for I care for you. Amen? When the clay's out of the way, then we can give our burdens down here and watch God do a work down the wheel. Amen? Woo! Where am I at? You can discharge your burden. Not only can you discharge your burden, but you can discover your blessing. Amen? Amen? They couldn't see this man get up and walk. They couldn't see him carry his cot until they got to Jesus. They could see Jesus. The only way they can see Jesus is to get the clay out of the way. When they got the clay out of the way, things begin to pick up business. Business began to pick up a little bit. Amen? Everybody, all their eyes were on them. Buddy, listen, when you get everything out of the way, and it's just you and Jesus, and Jesus is looking at you, and you're looking at Jesus, people are going to take notice. Amen? Business is going to pick up. They begin to drop that man down with a bed. Jesus looked up and seen their faith, not his faith, their faith. And buddy, He said, listen, I want you to do something, old boy. I want you to pick up your cot, and I want you to walk, and I want you to go home. Buddy, I'm telling you, faith, burdens will be taken care of at the altar of God when all the clay is out of the way in our lives. Amen. You've got a burden today? Get the clay out of the way. Bring it to God and watch what God will do. God will do things. Listen, there's favor talked in the Word of God. Brother, somebody talked about in the jail ministry, they talked about sanctification. That's a great word. Not used much anymore. Sanctification, holiness. We've lowered it down to dedication today. That's what we've done. But listen, there is a holiness. There is a sanctification. There is a setting apart. Amen? And buddy, when we mean to get business with God and we come to that place where we walk with God, I'm going to tell you, God will do some things for you and me. Amen? Woo! I'm telling God, you know what? Those that walk with God, those that keep the clay out of the way, God will give favor to. Amen? Woo! That's sweet, honey. Amen? Oh, that's like sugar to the soul. Did you know when you're living and walking right, God says, I want to bless you. I want to do something for you. What can I do for you, son? Keep on walking. Keep on teaching. Keep on preaching. Keep on singing. Just keep on. Woo! I was in the hospital last week, and a lady, one of our deacons, Tracy Wilson, you probably know his wife, had an aneurysm. But it looked like it was going to take her life. They had to clamp it off, go and do surgery. Church was praying. I got there, and Tracy introduced me to a man, and God did wonders in her. I'm telling you, they wonder why she went through it. I hate to tell them, one of the reasons is because when I was down there, I was able to talk to a boy to get him back in church. But anyway, his mom had an aneurysm. She had been 2.5 days in a coma. And buddy, he said, I want you to talk to this man. He's awful down, Todd. I went over and talked to him, and I said, where you at? I said, what's wrong with your mom? Got all the details. I said, listen, if you care if I pray with her? No, preacher, I'd love for you to pray for her. And he looked at me and he said, listen, anything that can do something good for her. I said, where are you at spiritually? Well, not where I need to be. I said, well, listen, God brought me here for twofold reason. One is I'm going to pray for your mom. The other one is you know where you need to be and you need to get back there. I went into that room, but I began to pray. pray, felt the presence of God fall. I no more than left that room. I got my card out. Said, here, when she wakes up and looks at you, give me a call. I'll be hearing from you today. He just looked at me in bewilderment. And I left there thinking, God, I hope I'm not wrong. I hope I know the Spirit. I hope I know your voice because you're talking to me. And I went back and visited Kathy. And when we came back, I was with my sister Lynn. I said, Lynn, I want to see somebody before we leave. I went over to that room before we left. I said, I got there, and right before I got the room, there's a waiting room. He comes out to meet me. He says, brother, I want you to know something. I don't know what you had in that oil. I don't know what's going on. But my mom waked up. She opened her eyes and looked at me and smiled. She looked over at my brother and smiled. And I said, hey, praise God. When you get to church, why don't you praise Him? See, here's an old bird that ain't been to church in a long time. God needed to do a miracle. He needed to have a burden taken. He couldn't take care of it because he had clay in his life. But praise be to God. God sent somebody that had the clay out of the way. Woo! Get the clay out of the way. Business picks up. Amen. You cannot hold. Man. You can examine the person of Jesus better. You can enter the presence of Jesus better. And the third thing, and the last point is, you can experience the power of Jesus. Changing power. When the clay is broken up and removed, it changes. It changes our destination. It changes our prayer life. Changes our problems. Changes our boldness. Changes our witness. It turns us around. It makes us from normal to peculiar. Amen? I always like that word. But anyway, He takes you out of the norm and takes you into another realm once you get the clay out of the way. God just says, I just want a clear channel to work with. No static, nothing there. I've got to have a clear channel to work with. Whew. Two things and I'll close and I'll ask you to stay a minute. I want to talk about John chapter 9. John chapter 9, Jesus sees a man that's blind. Here's what he says in verse 6. He spat on the ground and he made clay of spittle. I like that. See, he's seen the dirt and the dust that we were made of. He said, that dirt there needs a little life. That's what he did. That's what the Bible says. He reached down and took his spittle and that dirt that we were made out of. He said, I think I'll mix it up like I did man. And he mixed it up and made clay. Amen? Amen. And he said, that blind man, he said, you've been blind from your birth. Listen to me. If you're lost and you've never known Jesus Christ, you have been lost from your birth. Amen. He said, I think I'll put a little clay in the eyes. And he puts his clay in one eye and a clay in another eye. And the guy's already blind. And he's saying, what's going on? He said, somebody lead that man to the pool of Siloam. Woo! Now the pool of Siloam, Siloam is given a name for two reasons. A tower and a bathhouse. He said, you go to the pool of Siloam and you wash yourself and see and be clean. Listen, he went down that pool. Somebody led him there. Aren't you glad somebody brought you to church this morning? Amen. Jesus Christ is now putting the clay in your eyes. All I'm asking you to do is go to the pool of Siloam right here. And I'm asking you to wash that you might be able to see. Amen. All you got to do is like that man did. Did you know what he did? He got the clay out of the way. Woo! Isn't that what he did? He got the clay out of the way that he could see. I want you to know, we just need to get the clay out of the way so we can see. Huh? Jesus loves you. He made you a promise. He said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe my heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For the heart man believes righteous, with the mouth confession is made in salvation. Aren't you glad for that? He goes on down verse 13. He says, for whosoever. That means you, Bob. That means you, Tim. That means you, Todd. That means you, Diane. That means you, Cindy. That means all of us. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Statement of God. God does not lie. Amen? I don't care what you've done, where you've been. If the Spirit of God woos you this morning, come to the altar. Bow down here. Ask Him to forgive you. Put clay in your eyes. Wash it in the pool here. And be saved and born again and bought by the blood. Amen? Amen. The last thing I'm going to say, and this I'll close with, is Gideon. Remember Gideon? 32,000. By the way, it's amazing to me. Always been amazing to me. God shows up to Gideon. He's at the wine press threshing wheat. Huh? That means he's hiding from the enemy. I mean, he's kind of a coward. And God says, thou mighty man of valor.
Yeah.
Huh? See? God sees something in you that you don't see in you. Are you listening to me? God can make you something that you'll never dream that you could be made of if you let Him. 32,000. God says, you got too many people. Now He's a leader. He says, you let everybody that's fearful go on home. Remember how many people went home? 22,000 said, I'm fearful. I'm fearful. They left. That self still got too many people. I don't want no glory going to man. I want it all to go to God. Amen. Says, I think there needs to be some more. Here's what we'll do. Get in when those go down to get a drink of water. Those that fall on their knees and those that get down on the ground and they begin to drink. You tell them to go home. They're faint-hearted. Listen, God don't want the fearful. God don't want the faint-hearted. Huh? God wants the faithful. Amen! I'm telling you what, there was 300 of those men that got down like this, scooped up that water, and left it like a dog, looking around saying, I'm ready for battle. I'm ready to do whatever I need to do. God's still looking for some men, some women, to be able to lap up some water and say, I'm looking to see what God will do. Amen! And then He said, I want you to go now to the enemy's camp in that last watch. He said, you take the trumpet in your right hand, you begin to blow. He broke them up into three sections, 100 each. He said, I want you to have the pitcher in your left hand, an empty vessel. Did you know God wants to work through an empty vessel? The only thing He really wants in that empty vessel is His light. He said, I'll put a light in it. I'm closing here. This is it. This is something very precious to me. This is a vessel. Don't look too precious to you, but it came from Romania. Only one man that we know anywhere around, definitely the only one in Romania, that makes black clay. All other clay is painted black. He makes black clay. It's an art that's unknown to many and they just can't do it. This man fired black clay. I got to go meet him. His name is John. He speaks English. And I was just amazed as I began to ask him questions. He made a vessel for me. He let me sit down on the wheel. He let me spin the wheel. He let me do. I'm telling you, I had a time of my life. He signed all the work that I bought from him. He signed it. I love this vessel. I told my kids, don't you break my vessel. Don't you break it. My dogs were playing a couple months ago in the house and they knocked over the thing and it went like this and it fell and broke and shattered. I was mad at the dogs. Had to ask forgiveness of God. You know, I was mad. I can't believe they did that. Listen, the vessel was broke. But I want you to know something. I began to take an investigation of that and I said, Diane, it looks like this has already been broke before and it's been glued back together. She said, it has. Your daughter broke it. Then she said something that broke my heart. She said she was afraid to tell me. So she took all the pieces and tried to glue them back together. Folks, there's nothing that can bring a vessel back together. Did you know there's nothing that can even seal a crack of a vessel but one thing? Do you know what it is? Got it from Mike Bland. You know what it is? Lamb's blood. Whew. Aren't you glad he bought the potter's field? He said, you lift that empty vessel up and I want you to do something. I want you to break your vessel. You know what he's saying? I need to get the clay out of the way. Diane said, Todd, if you do that, I've been hanging on to it for months like this, all broken. She said, throw it away. I said, no, I can't. I got ready to leave. We drove 11 miles here and I said, I got to go back home. I got to get a vessel. And you know what? God said, I want you to hold your vessel up. I want you to break it. I'll clean all this up. I promise you. She said, how can you do that illustration again? I said, it's a one-time illustration, honey. He said, get your lights and shine it. See, until the clay is out of the way, folks, your light can't shine.